The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Starting in Mexico, where federal authorities are issuing a warning for people living near a volcano. That volcano is spewing gas and ash into the air.
And it's been a tense couple of days here in the greater Mexico City area because of that volcano. It's called Popocatépetl, which means smoky mountain in the native Aztec language. And it has been smoking quite a bit over the last few days. A number of eruptions sending ash and smoke way up into the sky.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Maggie and I were on the air yesterday. Well, first of all, good afternoon. It's good to be here with you today. All right, let me welcome you. I'm looking forward to the next 3 hours with you. We got a lot to get into, and we will pray the chaplet coming up. Young Thomas is on the phones. He'll take your calls. And Maggie May is on the other side of the glass here. She'll be joining me for the chaplet throughout the day here. Maggie and I were watching as we were on the air yesterday. There's a couple of big TV monitors in my studio here. You have different feeds, different news outlets, broadcasting, seeing what's happening. And I said, Maggie, look at this, because she just got back from Italy. And she looked up at the screen, and there was ash erupted from a volcano. I wasn't sure where that was in Italy, but she just got out of Italy, so she just made it back. You remember where that was in Italy?
I looked it up. It was in Sicily.
It was in Sicily.
Yeah.
Right. You were down towards Pompeii. You were in Sorrento.
Yeah. So I was glad. We had made jokes about Vesuvius erupting while we were there. So I'm glad it wasn't Vesuvius. Yeah.
Did you go to Pompeii or you didn't get a chance?
We didn't get a chance to.
That is such a sight to see that.
I'm sure.
You've got to go and see that. It's amazing. A whole city.
Yeah.
When Vesuvius erupted, it sent so much ash into the air, for those who don't know. When it landed, it buried a city and all the inhabitants in that city alive. And actually, as they did excavations, it's kind of a little bit macabre. There's like glass boxes, and you'll see people who've just frozen in their place, their bodies. You know, it's bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
But also on the walls, I was a little taken back. As they excavated the places, you'll see, like, you'll go into a home that was there on the street, and on the wall there's all these paintings, right, that were done 2,000 years ago when this thing, you know, before it got covered. And people are, like, touching it with their hands. I'm like, why isn't there glass over this, right? Why is this being preserved, right? So, but they're still excavating Pompeii, which is amazing. I was on a pilgrimage years ago, Maggie, and I was overseas. I was actually in Italy, believe it or not. I was up in the Venice area. And a volcano in Iceland went off, right? So Kathy and I were there. We have young kids. We have, you know, 5 kids. We're all about a year apart, right? And her sister was watching them for us. And we were on, like, 10, 12-day pilgrimage. And this volcano goes off the day before we're about to leave, and it literally shut everything down. You couldn't get into the air because of all the ash that was there. When it got into the turbine engines, it would turn literally to glass, to cement, and it would cause a plane to crash, right? And you don't want to be over the Atlantic when that happens. Well, we went from, I think we were in France trying to get to Venice. That's where we were. Buses, which you would cost you X amount of dollars, were 5-10 times as much to try to get you out of there. So we were grounded in Venice for,
wow,
another 4 days.
Oh, my gosh.
It sounds like a tough run, right? It's, it's the end of the trip. My sister-in-law was like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, Kathy feels terrible because she's a mother. Meanwhile, I'm like, hey, I can dig this, right?
Oh.
I can enjoy it.
Oh, man.
A few extra days over there, although the cash was running low, right? That was so volcanoes are pretty serious stuff. A volcano about 45 miles outside of Mexico City has started erupting. Popocatépetl. It's a volcano that started to spew ash last week. And, you know, the fear is that millions of people would need to be evacuated. And Mexico City, as you know, is probably one of the largest cities in the world with a population of 12 million people. But the country's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he told a press conference earlier today that the amount of ash that the volcano was spewing out, it's diminished. The wind has shifted it away from the city and towards the state of Puebla. So it's they're not so concerned about it. But, you know, it's strange because Maggie was highlighted to me, hey, there was a volcano here. There's another one there that just went off. We're having these strange rumblings, right? The tsunami that took place, that earthquake off of Guam. You know, it seems like the earth is a little bit more active. And I get worried about the seismic activity, because there's a thing called seismic storms. As pressure builds up and if it releases in one area, it could cause other shifts and other earthquakes as a result of that. But Maria Esperanza, the mystic from South America, she years ago had said something that I always found strange. I don't know how to interpret it, but she said Earth's core is out of balance. She was concerned about something going on within the Earth's core. Is she talking about tectonics? Is she talking about, we reported on that story of that strange leak at the bottom of the ocean that they found coming from the Earth's core. Is the magnetic poles, is she talking about them flipping or switching? Is she talking about something that's going to take place that will drive humanity to its knees? I don't know, but as I see these little events, and I'm not here to get apocalyptic or to scare you, I always sit back. She also warned about the rise of China. She saw that hump coming. She talked about the collapse of the World Trade Tower. She prophesied strange new viruses and diseases. Whoever thought we'd have a pandemic like COVID-19, right? So she was on point. She also prophesied the birth of my first daughter, which was pretty amazing, and told me a lot of other things that to this day I still marvel at. I miss her very much. Her cause is open. She's a servant of God right now, and if you need a miracle in your life, you may want to turn to her, right, and say, hey, can you intercede for me? I do that with these holy people that I've met. You know, you might have met saints. I met John Paul II. He's a saint. Mother Angelica, I met her once. I think she's going to become a saint. Maria Esperanza. I mean, there's a lot of different people. Lady stopped me when I was in Green Bay a couple of weeks ago and says, you know, how many saints have you met? And it's kind of an interesting question because a friend of mine said, oh, I've met this. And he went through like five people that he met that he really believes are now going to be saints. Have you ever thought about that, Maggie? Have you met saints? You know?
I think so.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing at me. I appreciate that. No. I'll never be a saint unless there's humility. Maria Esperanza, she said, Drew, humility is the crystal bridge that leads us to heaven.
Beautiful.
You know, it's such a great way of putting it. I remember one time years ago, I don't know if I shared the story with you. I'm just rambling tonight, not doing any news, but I'll just continue to pontificate a moment. I'm reminiscing back to, I got out of college, right? I was a young guy, and a buddy of mine who would ultimately become a future priest at the time. We were just two young guys. We went to Italy, and we were hanging out. We stayed in a little town, a little village outside of Rome. It was out there. It was a walled city. And I remember the World Cup was taking place. Italy won it, and the place went crazy. It's 11 o'clock at night. There's parties everywhere. But we stayed right outside of a contemplative place. I think it was called the Oasis of Peace. It might have been that. It was some oasis. And these were men and women who trusted in God's providence. They lived totally in God's care. And there was a nun that came up to me that was there. And they had great stories of how God would provide for them. And she says, Our Lady has a message for you. Now, I'm a young 26-year-old guy, right? I'm over there. And I knew God had called me to something, right? And Our Lady gave me a message. And she gave me a message about my future and what I would do, right? And it was pretty bold. I still have it. I still have her signature. I still have the name and the date when she gave it to me.
She wrote it down.
She wrote it down on a little scrap of paper that I have, you know? And I still have it to this day. I'll have to show it to you because I actually took a photo of it. I keep it with me as a reminder. But the way Our Lady signed off this message to me, and I won't go into the details of what she said, but she left me with four words, maybe a little bit more. She says, my son, this was her closing thoughts to me, be humble, be humble, be humble, be humble.
Oh, Lord.
Not once, not be humble, my son. Be humble, be humble, be humble, be humble, be humble.
Wow.
And, you know, as I said, Esperanza would say to me, too, humility is a crystal bridge that leads us to heaven. And if you have humility, God exalts the humble, of course. I mean, but that's the key. It's the opposite of the prince of pride, right, who fell. And this is the way Our Lady exemplified humility. It was her yes, and it was her humility. That's why Satan hates her with a seething hatred, right? Be humble, be humble, be humble. Don't seek pride. People say, don't you want to do TV? You know, when I first was a young guy, I thought, yeah, I want to anchor television news. But and I'd probably be sitting somewhere now doing that, right? But a friend of mine said to me, Drew, all that glitters isn't gold. And that type of stuff is so horrible. It's a trap. It really can be. Plus, you lose your privacy. I was overseas. I shared this with you before with an actor. And I met him in the airport in L.A. And we were taking a pilgrimage to Ireland, a trip to Ireland together. And I didn't even recognize him. He came up. He had sunglasses on. He had his collar popped up. He had a baseball hat on, big coat and jeans. Hey, Drew, I'll keep his name anonymous. Hey, Drew, it's so-and-so. Hey, yo, how you doing? I mean, I didn't recognize when he came up to me. But we went overseas. We had a great time. And one night, we go to dinner. And we're in this little restaurant somewhere near the close of Mull or somewhere over in Ireland. And word got out that he was there because he was in movies, he was on television shows, and we had to leave. We had to go upstairs, go through the kitchen and down the back steps and out because so many people were waiting for him out front.
No.
This is overseas, right? He's an American star, and it's like, I said, I would never want that. I would never want that type of celebrity. I would never want that kind of fame. You know, it's a trap. Plus, it's so fleeting. Look at the people who've been so famous when you were younger, and who are they now? They're a distant memory. Somebody always takes over. So it's part of the spiritual life, too. We have to be humble. Let's work on our humility in all things. But a little divergence there for you.
So, good message.
It's an interesting one. I mean, I've never forgot it. Be humble, be humble, be humble. My wife reminds me of that a lot. And be humble. What did Our Lady say to you, Drew? What did she say? Remember?
Oh, man, that's great.
People come home and say, oh, your husband's this, your husband's that. And she goes, well, he takes the trash out just like your husband, right? He was. Yeah, so my wife's very good for me. Kathy's, she's something else. She's a gift, too. Hey, tonight, heads up. The Florida governor is going to be officially announcing his run for presidency. Did you hear about this? He's in bed. He's doing this with Elon Musk. First time I think this is going to be done on Twitter. Heard Elon today. He says that he really wants Twitter to be a public forum for discussion, right, and for exploration. So what a great place to do this, right? I think it's kind of an idea. Very unusual setting. Instead of releasing a video or going someplace very significant or coming down on an elevator, or, you know, like I always thought Trump's entrance. I thought that was a little ridiculous. I know many people love Trump, so don't hate me for saying that, but. You come down on an elevator, right in a mall, or where was he? It was like, I thought, really? That's not how I would make my political debut. It was successful. He ended up becoming the president, right? He's leading in the polls 56% right now over everyone else that he's leaving in the dust. But instead of, you know, DeSantis coming out in front of cheering crowds, he's going to be sitting down with Elon Musk for an interview on Twitter Spaces. And Musk said that he'll have an unscripted Q&A with DeSantis, during which, as Musk said, he'll have quite an announcement to make. So, will he run for president? I mean, everybody's saying he is. Maybe some other announcement. Who knows? Now, I'm sure it's probably going to be that, but we'll see tonight. You'll have to tune in. A lot of people have known for years, for a year, I should say, at least, that DeSantis has had presidential aspirations. He's been kind of soft campaigning. He's been going around testing the waters. He's raised a lot of money. His poll numbers have sometimes rivaled Donald Trump, but right now they're lagging behind him. Who's been dominating the headlines for the past few months. Donald Trump's going to come into some more heat, of course, in the middle of, I guess, his trial set for March 24th or 5th next year. So that's right around the corner. Are you tired of Donald Trump? Do you want to see him back in? You know, is it about policy and where somebody stands on the issues? It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, President Biden's running again. He is going to run again. And if you want four more years of this, then you know who to vote for. If you are thinking about a change, well, then we'll see who throws her hat into the Democratic ring. I don't think we're going to see many. There's a couple names, but there's a lot of names right now in the Republican arena, and we're a long way away from an election. So you never know who's going to come to the forefront, but we'll see. Tonight, 6, I'll give you coverage tomorrow on what DeSantis had to say, and we'll break it down. We'll take a look at both sides of the aisle and the race. Hey, if you thought the FBI was coming after you because you're Catholic and you are pro-life, guess what? You might be right. Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, the chair of the House Weaponization Subcommittee, he had this to say. Check this out.
Here's the key line from the Durham report. Quote, the FBI failed to uphold their mission of fidelity to the law. They didn't follow the law. Didn't have probable cause or evidence to do what they did. An agency focused on politics. But I would argue today it's even worse. Because today it's not just presidential campaigns. Today it's the American people. They're the target. You're not politically correct. You're not in line with what they think should be the political position, the proper position. You're the target. Parents attending a school board meeting, pro-lifers praying at a clinic, or Catholics simply attending mass, you could be a target. And maybe what's just as frightening is if you're one of the good employees in our government who come forward to talk about the targeting, you then become a target. You face retaliation. If you're one of those, and I think there are thousands and thousands of good employees working across our country in the FBI and other agencies, but if you're one of those good employees driven by your commitment to the Constitution and your conscience, and you come forward, they're going to come after you. If you come forward and tell us about the radical traditional Catholic memo, you come forward and tell us about this idea that they're going to create some snitch line to report on parents going to school board meetings, you do that, they will try to crush you. They will retaliate against you. They're coming after you.
What country is that, right? What country are we talking about? This is the United States of America. We should never, ever hear a representative say things like that. I totally agree, Jim Jordan. It's ridiculous. How do we get to this point? You would hear that from communist China or from the former USSR, right? From North Korea, from other places. Not the United States of America, home of the free, right? Where liberty reigns. Let's hope that despite the threat of losing their jobs, more federal employees come forward to report on the unconstitutional, unlawful things that the federal government is doing. We need to hold them accountable. Maggie, you were just saying to me during that audio clip that the former founder of Twitter, right?
Jack Dorsey.
You want to share what he said?
He just tweeted, I don't have it in front of me right now, but just it was like within the last 24 hours, he said something to the effect of the CIA, the FBI need to be utterly dismantled. He said, I think he used the word shattered.
Wow. So you wonder what he knows, right?
Yeah.
You wonder because we do know that there were backdoor channels. They had access to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And then he actually, underneath that text, he posted a picture of a portrait of John F. Kennedy. And I was like, what?
Wow. Oh, wow. How interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's both those organizations really have gotten black eyes very publicly right now. We'll see what comes from them. Then you see what's happening in the culture, right? You see what's happening. That's the FBI. The higher levels of academia in this country. Hunter College. I don't know if you're familiar with this college. It must be one of the most prestigious schools in the country. You know, I didn't realize that. One of the most prestigious schools in our country. I saw this professor walks up to a booth for the Students for Life. And if you haven't seen this video, it is disturbing. You wonder, it's a very angry person, right? I actually said a prayer for her. So this person definitely needs some love.
I saw the video yesterday, and I wanted to somehow edit the audio, but it's almost impossible because she's swearing every other word. And I was like, I don't want to play that for you guys.
She goes, and I love this pro-life student. So she walks up to this, I'll tell you what happened. She walks up to this booth, right, that Students for Life had. It was in the hallway of the school, and her name's Rodriguez, Professor Rodriguez. I think Shalane Rodriguez. She didn't act like she taught at a prestigious college. Now, she comes up, and she claimed that Students for Life were being violent and dropping profanities. And then she picked up and started to shove their brochures off of the table and walked away. She said something like, you know, you probably heard the audio, you might remember this. She started challenging, you know, what are you doing? Is trans next? Is trans next? Did you hear her audio? You listen to the clip.
She says,
right?
You're bleeping, triggering my students. And the young man behind the table says, I don't mean to be doing that. Right. I'm sorry. And she goes, no, you're not. You're not sorry. And then did you see the other footage of the New York Post reporter going to her door? She comes out with a machete and holds it to his neck.
That dude was super calm. I would have grabbed her arm or I would have done something. Yeah, she comes out like she's insane with that machete in her knife, puts it right against his throat. Now, it was only there for a second, but still. And he's like, we got to get out of here.
I think she threatens to chop him into a million pieces. She says, get away from my door. You're like, don't be here. And she says, I'll chop you up.
I mean, would you even believe it if it wasn't on tape? I mean, thank God they had the video running when she opened the door. I didn't see the rest of it. They said that she chased those guys down the street, too. So apparently, I don't know what's going to happen. The last I heard, they're consulting with their superiors and the Post, you know, some are saying really should file charges against her. So we'll see what happens there. One other story here, and just to be fair and always balanced, right? I don't want to take sides. I don't want to be partisan. Fox News, right? So many people love Fox News. And I'll be honest with you, I do have a problem with MSNBC and CNN just because of how untruthful they have been in the past. It's really bad, bad journalism. Well, when it came to Fox News, I don't know if you heard this. Somebody leaked their employee handbook. It made it to the Daily Signal. And apparently in Fox News's handbook are pages of instruction on how to deal with transgender people. And it includes things like, you know, personnel having to use preferred pronouns of those who call themselves trans. You know, when you're in the workplace, there's even a workplace transition plan to help trans people, you know, through dealing with their transition at work. And the revelation comes amid conservative consternation right now at Fox Digital's use of activist language like gender-affirming care and stories on their website, as well as sites consistent, you know, use of female pronouns for biological males, like the TikTok celebrity Dylan Mulvaney and swimmer Leah Thomas, who will use, you know, they used to be Will Thomas, right? He's now Leah. But they drew backlash for a June 22nd on-air segment praising a child's gender transition as an inspiration to others. So, you know, I found it a little bit shocking. You hope what you see is what you see, and how a person represents themselves is ultimately how they represent themselves. There was another story I saw, and I wasn't going to share this one with you, but I might as well. There were parents in Maryland who actually filed a federal lawsuit against the Montgomery County School District over children being forcibly exposed to these LGBTQ books. And the district has never told the parents about the books that they're having their kids read. So the reason I'm bringing this up to you, and first of all, I'm glad there's a federal lawsuit there. I hope they're victorious. As a parent, I know it's very easy to give your kid their lunch in their backpack and send them off to school, right? And sometimes parents look at the school like it's a babysitter. But you don't want your kid being indoctrinated. And for a school to expose kids to this type of distortion without the parental consent and not tell parents what the kids are reading, they never had the option, you know, to opt their kids out of it because they didn't know about it. So now the parents have gone to the Beckett Fund, good organization as well, for help. And the fund has filed a lawsuit because the school board said that they would not follow Maryland law that requires parents be given an opt-out. Can I ask you why? Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't you allow parents are the primary educator, not you. You don't own these children. Why wouldn't you give the parents the right to say, you know what? I'm going to teach my children different values. I want you to teach them mathematics. I want you to teach them English. I want you to teach them American history. I don't want you twisting their minds, okay, and filling them with confusion. In fact, coming up in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Father Rehill. He's a very gifted exorcist who was with us in the past. And Target has just hired, I don't know if you saw this or not, they hired a Satanist, to design this whole Pride line. And I see, you know what I see this as? I see it as an attack on the family. I see this as satanic. And I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be overdramatic. I'm not trying to be, you know, dramatic at all here. I'm just trying to be honest with you. There's a spiritual component to what we're seeing. When schools are deceiving parents, you know, when they're indoctrinating somebody else's kids, when we've got Target hiring designers that self-identify as a Satanist to design products for a Pride line in their stores all across the country, and they're promoting this LGBTQ apparel. And during this, you know, Target released a tuck-friendly bathing suit for adults and children. What's a child need that for? It's part of this Pride line. The Satanist has openly posted multiple times on her Instagram about her devotion to Satan. And she once posted an image of a T-shirt that read, "Satan respects pronouns. Satan respects pronouns. Satan loves you and respects who you are," she says. "You're important and valuable in this world. You deserve to treat yourself with love and respect. LGBT plus people are often referred to as being a product of Satan and going against God's will." Whoever's saying they're a product of Satan is wrong, right? They're children of God too. But this is what Satan loves to do. Satan loves to twist this type of stuff. She says, "We don't believe Satan is an actual being. Satanists don't actually believe in Satan. He's merely used as a symbol of passion, pride, and liberty. You know, he means to you what you need him to mean. So for me, Satan is hope, compassion, equality, and love. This is a perfect example of the great deceiver." You know what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches? Very clear. Here's what the church says. Catechism, 268. You can read it. That Satan is a creature of God. He's not a deity, right? He's a creature, just like you and I are. And at first he was good. He was a good angel, made by God. It's Catechism 267 says the devil and other demons were indeed created naturally good by God, but they became evil by their own doing. So she says, I went with a variation of Baphomet. Baphomet, I don't know if you're familiar, that's this horrible statue. It's a mixture of genders and beings and ideas and existence. And she says, because you know they reject binary stereotypes and expectations. This really is an attack on your children. It's an attack on sexuality, and it's an attack on the family. That's what this is really all about. And at the heart of it is Satan, because Satan hates the family. He cannot create, right? He can only mimic and ape God. He has a tremendous hatred for the family, especially for the innocence of children. And that's why we're seeing this hypersexualization of our kids. He wants to distort them and their sexuality. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to Father Rehill about this. We'll also talk about some other things that have gone mainstream. You might be surprised what's for sale right now on eBay and a lot of other places. So stay with me. We'll get into that and more. Don't go away.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Faith over fear.
Yeah, as we talk about this, you know, one of the great tactics of the evil one, of course, is fear. We have faith, the power of the sacraments, the power of the church, the power of the blood of Christ. And you might be going through a difficult time. Maybe you feel overwhelmed by the culture. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're down. I'm telling you, turn to the Lord. He'll get you through that. Don't give up hope. Don't think that we are losing the battle. You know, I'll give you a quick confession, and Father Dan Rehill is going to be joining me in just a second here. I don't like talking about all this culture war stuff. I get into it with my producers in the morning all the time. It's depressing. It's ugly. It's tiresome. But the cultural elite keep upping the ante. They keep making it worse. And to my producer's credit, you know, we do need to talk about it. A lot of people aren't aware of this. They need perspective. They need understanding on this. We talked about the LA Dodgers, right? How they caved to the pressure of that extreme left after they did the right thing. And they didn't give an award to an anti-Catholic bigoted group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They couldn't withstand the backlash, so now they're going to honor them, and they've actually apologized. Yet this is an offense to every single Catholic in this country, every Catholic in the world, really. At the same time, you got you got Target. They're Minneapolis-based. They come out with this line of clothing targeted, and no pun intended, at the LGBTQ crowd that includes, you know, and I even don't like talking about what they're, you know what they're saying, right? The stuff that children should not be wearing, right? But it's bad enough. I reported yesterday the backlash that they had so much response. People were so frustrated by this that they had to have an emergency meeting between upper management and the regional and store managers over the placement of where these items are. Well, if they're causing that much consternation, get them out. Stop selling them, right? Put something else in the place that makes everybody happy. Well, some of them have been pulled off the sales floors. Others have been moved to the back of the store. But the suits are blaming customers for this change, saying that some of the team members were threatened. I hope that's not the case, but it comes to even worse. I shared with you just a moment ago how Target hired a woman who claims she's a man to design the clothing, is a Satanist, and says that, you know, Satanists don't actually believe in Satan. He's a symbol of passion, pride, and liberty. Right? He was at first a good angel, right? But he is fallen. Satan, she says, is the prince of the children of pride. I'm joined today by somebody who's had encounters with the evil one and who can give us some perspective on this attack on the family and on our children and on innocence and what you and I can do spiritually to combat it. Because I know you might feel powerless. You might say, I can boycott, but what else can I do? But what can we do spiritually? Father Dan Rehill, he's a priest of the Diocese of Nashville. He grew up near and worked in New York for years. He shared a story with us in the past. A wonderful priest. He joins me today. Right now, he is part of the diocese of he's in Tennessee as well as the dean of the southern part of the diocese, and he's the exorcist from that area. Good to have you with us today, Father. Welcome back.
Thank you, Drew. Good to be with you.
So your church is Catherine of Siena, right, in Columbia, Tennessee?
Correct.
All right. I want to make sure I got your church right and your diocese right. It's good to have you here. Father, what do you make of this? I love your perspective. You've encountered evil. You know the power and the authority the church has is over it, but it's seeping up out of everywhere, whether it's Dodger Stadium, whether it's institutions like Target, whether it's Bud Light, you know, whether it's clothing lines, whether it's schools. It seems to be nonstop. It just keeps percolating up. What's going on? Maybe you can give us a spiritual perspective on it. What's the best way to push back against this, to defeat it?
Well, you know, I find it very odd myself. You're not alone, because when I worked in corporate America in banking and finance, you know, the CEO dictated the agenda of the corporation, always. And he kind of knew what was the marketing plan, how it's going to trickle down, who's responsible for this, that, and the other thing. I don't know.
Well, my guest today is Father Dan Rahill. Father, I don't know if you can still hear me, and I know you are in motion right now, but your cell signal has just dropped out for a moment. Are you back with us now? All right, I'll see if he's back. I'll tell you what. Let me take a quick break. We'll see if we can make the connection. If not, we'll have to invite Father back right now. But if you want to join us too, it's 888-914-9149. Stay with me. Our conversation will continue with more right after this.
Insight and analysis right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
I just want to say real quick, thanks to everybody that called in. It's so encouraging. What a great community it is. All the shows on Relevant Radio all day long. They're so uplifting.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Relevant. Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live, coming up. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. Father Dan Rahill is back with us. We're talking a little bit about how Satanism has gone mainstream, whether it's Target or even on eBay, they are selling all sorts of occult type of demon boxes and other items. And my question is, you know, why are we seeing so much of this today? And what is the best way to combat this spiritually? And Father, when we lost you, you were talking about when you were working in corporate America. Maybe you could pick it up there.
Yeah. So like why, when I worked for these big companies, Citicorp, Amex, the whole image and the projection of the company was driven by the CEO. And everybody knew what that message was. Everybody knew what the branding was. Everybody knew what the marketing was. How is it that Target could have gone into this very minute little vein towards transgender and Satanism, and nobody in the company thought this was a bad idea? When by far, you'd have to say, I would say maybe 90% at least of the average customer doesn't want Satanism and doesn't want transgender on their children.
Right.
So who makes these decisions? It seems like they've been duped. Like I think of St. Paul speaking to the Galatians. Oh, stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you? Like who has bewitched you, Target? What are you doing? And especially on the heels of Bud Light. Like did nobody watch what happened? It amazes me.
I said the same thing the other day. I had another guest on. I'm like, it just doesn't make sense. Even if you take a look, you take the Satan, you take the occult aspect out of this thing, it's just bad business, right? I mean, if you take a look at the percentage of people that you are now spending millions targeting, for what purpose? There's an ideology behind this. This is ideologically driven. And I also think there's, without question, a demonic influence here as well. What would you suggest, Father, is the best way for us to combat this? I mean, we talked about the Dodgers yesterday, Target. People are going to boycott. Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. We saw what happened with Bud Light. I mean, they've lost billions as a result of this. But what can we do spiritually? Because a lot of people say, I'm not great at boycotting, or I can't, or what can we do spiritually to disengage what we're now seeing?
Well, the battle is the Lord's always. So the closer you get to Jesus, the better, the more equipped you are to be protected. And I think we've been fighting too much a defensive battle. It's time to be a little more offensive. So I pray the chaplet of St. Michael every day. You're engaging the nine choirs of angels to come and protect you and guide you, lead you, and even go forward to take back what is rightfully God's. I would pray that every day. I would pray the divine mercy for the conversion of these people who think this is a good idea. But I would boycott too. You know, I wouldn't. I'm done. I would never shop at Target again.
Me either.
And I'm done. I never liked light beer anyway. But let me tell you, in Tennessee, nobody's buying it. When you go into Kroger, the Bud Light is sitting on the shelf. Nobody's buying it. So that's working. They're starting to take notice that mainstream America's had enough. And we just don't want to deal with it anymore. We're done playing these games with these big corporations that think it's all okay. Anything we do is going to be okay. The people will just take it all in. Well, no. The people have had enough. And I think they're starting to realize this is a bigger issue than we really thought, right? 3 years ago, nobody would have believed this was all coming. You know, people thought life was okay before right. COVID. Everything was kind of fine.
Right.
So I think what's good about this is it's finally been brought into the light. It's not hidden. But that also speaks to the way Satan operates. You know, the fact that he's not trying to hide anymore means the ante has been raised and the stakes have become higher. And I think personally that he realizes his time is numbered and that the triumph is coming of our Lord and our Lady, the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. And I think that's why he's acting like a rabid animal right now.
I know you just got back from Medjugorje. I think the last time we talked, you were heading over there. And I remember hearing a message from Our Lady there one time. And she said, the reason that Satan is becoming so aggressive is because he knows his time is running short. And to your point, he's short. No longer hiding in the shadows, is he? I'm seeing stuff.
Oh, no.
Now we had the Satan Con in Boston. It sold out instantly, right? You have stuff being sold, demon boxes on YouTube. We have the targeting of our kids. I mean, clearly, this is this has the fingerprints of Satan all over it. Why are children? Why? It seems like today, more than ever, they're the victims of this. You know, marriage is one thing that's always been under attack. The church has been attacked. But it seems children, more than anything, is in his crosshairs.
Because he hates purity, he hates innocence. Because those two things he has nothing to do with. He is the furthest thing from pure or innocent, so he hates that. And the purer you are and the more innocent you are, the more he is repulsed by you, the more he wants to drag those people into the mud. And so he goes after the children. You know, this new movie coming out with Caviezel.
Yeah.
This is going to shine a big light, but I was just watching this interview he did with Steve Bannon.
Yep.
And he said, every time there's a story about child trafficking, it gets immediately wiped from the media. Within 24 hours, it's gone. You don't even know where it went. And Disney wound up with the rights to this film, and they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Why is that? Why is it that a company geared towards children doesn't want to promote a film about protecting children?
Right.
Think about that. There's something wrong there.
No, I couldn't agree more. We have got Jim scheduled to come on the show with us. We'll be talking to him about that as well. We had talked about Nefarious, another film I think that came out. Have you seen that one yet?
No, I'm waiting for it to come on. I don't like going to the movies, to be honest. I'm waiting for it to come on streaming. But I've heard about it. I heard it's actually pretty authentic.
Yeah, it sounds like a good movie. Well, I know you only have a moment or two left, so let me just get some final thoughts from you here as well, Father. I'm grateful for your time. I look forward to when you and I could sit down and talk in even greater detail. I thought of you when I saw the stories about the Satan boxes that are being sold, the de-baptisms at Satan Con, about all this other stuff that we're now seeing in here as well, and the danger of dabbling with that type of stuff. I hope people stay away from it. But let me give you final thoughts.
Well, I love the fact that when you opened up earlier, you were talking about how they claim they don't worship Satan. No. But in the opening session of the SatanCom conference, they had video where they're all saying, Hail Satan. Wow. So, you know, like, he's known for the fact that he's a liar from the beginning, and you can't trust anything they say. These people do believe in Satan. They get their power from him, and they're willing to trade even their place in heaven to have this power on earth. Now, sure, there are some of them that are just in it for the kicks and the giggles, but the vast majority of Satanists know what's going on, and they're plugged into his power. So I would say, you encounter these people, you have to be careful because they actually can hurt you. They can hurt you with the power they've been given. Don't be afraid. Like you said, perfect love casts out all fear. We have to be a people that are not afraid of the devil. If you're living out your authentic identity as a child of God, the devil fears you.
Amen. Can I ask you to share one story before I let you go? I heard you, you share this before about a man. I think he was in Italy. You shared the story once, and he was with this group. I guess it was Satanists, and they were gonna, you know, they were gonna give him power and success, but he had to give them his daughter. You know,
the doctor.
Yeah, well, we share that story there because it's a perfect illustration of what we see here.
So he's a doctor. He's making good money, but one of his colleagues says to him one night, "Hey, you can triple your income by coming to this event with me." And he's like, okay, let's go. And it's a very dignified, civilized cocktail party at a wealthy person's home. And he's thinking, well, this is great. I'm having a good time, a few drinks, a few hors d'oeuvres. And then all of a sudden, the mood changes. And out come these hooded guys with these black cloaks. And they perform some kind of a satanic rite. And there's some kind of weird sacrificial thing going on. And eventually they come up to him and say, you know, are you interested in this wealth that we offer? And he's like, well, yeah, of course, who wouldn't be? What do I have to do? And they say, you have to give us one of your children. And he says, are you crazy? What do you mean give you my children? And they said, not literally, but spiritually. And he doesn't believe in this. So he's like, well, that's no big deal. Fine. You can have my daughter, but you're not going to touch her. And they're like, no, we won't touch her. Well, within a few days, she's having night terrors, and within a week, she's suicidal. And he sees this dramatic shift, and he knows what's going on. He finally tells his wife, and of course, she's not happy. She's very, 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 very upset. And they go to their priest, and the priest speaks to the chancery, and they get an exorcist involved. And the exorcist says, look, I can help your daughter, but this group is very powerful. You're going to have to leave. And they were in Rome. You have to leave Rome. Pack up. Sell everything and move to the south of Italy and don't tell people where you are because these people will come after you. And he moved and he changed his whole life. And he, from that day forward, he became a very devout Catholic because he came to know the true God by understanding the true evil that fights against him.
That's just an unbelievable story and a reality. I mean, look what the Prince of this world can offer you and give you, but there's always a cost for it. Father, thank you for being here. Thanks for. I'd love to talk with you again. Would you give us your blessing before you depart?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey,
have a great rest of your show, Drew.
Yeah, Father, safe travels. Thanks for making time for us. That's Father Dan Reel.
Right.
We'll pray the chaplet coming up in 8 minutes. I'll remember your intentions along with mine. So we'll pray for him. Pray for him. He's in he's in the exorcism ministry and could certainly use your prayers, that's for sure. You know, he said something that struck me, and I'll take calls in a minute. Let me just follow up on something he said. I'm not here to scare you, as he points out. Perfect love casts out all evil. But he says every day, here's an exorcist. And you might feel oppressed, you might feel depressed, you might feel tempted, you might feel obsessed, you know, there might be problems in your life. You might see it in your kids. There might be addiction. They might have bought into these culture lies. He says the chaplet to St. Michael every day. There is a beautiful prayer written by Pope Leo XIII called St. Michael the Archangel. And I'm going to pray it, okay? I'm going to pray it with you. But first, before we pray this, I'll just tell you about this mystical encounter he had. This came from God. And if you don't know the story, I'll give you the backstory. It's a fascinating one. It could be traced all the way back to 1884. The date was significant. It was October 13th. You know, 33 years prior to the date of the great miracle, the in Fatima. And Pope Leo had just finished celebrating Mass. He was in the Vatican Chapel, and a few cardinals were there. A couple members of the Vatican staff were with him. And finished Mass, and he just, as he was getting ready to depart, he stopped at the foot of the altar, and he stood there for about 10 minutes. Those who saw him wondered what was going on. It looked like he was in a trance. His face became ashen. Then he collapsed. He fell to the floor. And whatever the cause was, whatever the case was, what he experienced was so profound, he immediately got up from that chapel floor, went to his office, and he composed the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel with the instructions that it should be said after every low Mass everywhere. And that was the case for years until, I think, Vatican II. When asked what happened, when people said, "What happened to you?" he explained, "I was about to leave, you know, the foot of the altar, and I heard voices, two voices. One was very kind. The other was guttural, and it was harsh." He says, "They seemed to, I don't know, emanate from near the tabernacle. So I was captivated. I listened, and I heard their conversation." He said, "The guttural voice, I knew instantly, was the voice of Satan. He was puffed with pride. He was boasting to the Lord. He says, 'I can destroy your church.' The gentle voice said, 'You can? Then go ahead and do so. To do so, I need more time and more power.'" "How much time? How much power?" 75 to 100 years, and the greater the power over those who will give themselves to my service." And our Lord said this, according, this comes from Pope Leo XIII. He says, "You have the time, you will have the power, do with them what you will." 1884. Leo XIII died in 1904, 1905. Some wonder when this era, this 100 years, would be. There's no question there was something especially diabolic about the tens of millions of babies that were killed each year through surgical abortion. You know, the elderly, the cognitively disabled were being put to death as well. Marriage came under attack, right? Contraception boomed. We saw just a total rejection of God. And a lot of people say, Drew, every epoch has its evil, right? The 13th century had Genghis Khan. Look, no other era had the weaponry that could demolish the planet. No other century had scientists tinkering with the very fabric of human life. I don't think there's a time that has so completely rejected God. And just think about the evil that comes from the rejection of God. You have a Hitler, you have a Lenin, you have a Stalin, you have a Mao. That's just the beginning of the immorality. I believe these are times of grace. I believe you and I were chosen to live at this particular moment in time. I believe mercy is really the answer. The Lord says the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. This is a time of conversion. This is a time of spiritual warfare. It is a time of spiritual battle, and you and I are on the front lines of it. We need to arm ourselves with the treasures and the weapons of the church. I want to pray that prayer to St. Michael, and we'll pray it right now for you, protection over your family, your loved ones. Let's pray it over our country, over our church. Let's pray God in his mercy will vanquish his demonic foe. Satan will be bound and sent back to the recesses of hell. Because this is a time, as Father Rahill points out, that Satan's becoming more aggressive. He's attacking with greater frequency and potency. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do so, and do that, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits that prowl about the world, seeking the ruin and destruction of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I hope you will stay, and I hope you'll join me for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. St. Faustina would pray this, and she often saw demons in the final moments of a soul's life, waiting to whisk them to the darkness of hell. And that prayer vanquished them, right? The rosary is a chain that will bind Satan. Pray the chaplet. Pray the rosary. Get to confession and free yourself from the chains that bind you. Feed your soul with the bread of life. Right? Join me now. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, I'll take first 5, 6, 7 calls, whatever we can fit in. And we'll pray for God's mercy for you and all those you love. I'll be right back.